And so he just couldn't go back in there flippantly. He just couldn't go back in there nonchalantly. He just couldn't go back in there casually. But there was some preparation that took place before the high priest went back into the Holy of Holies.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Day of Atonement. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Day of Atonement.
Because Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so, you know, it's just amazing when you think about these religions. And that's what they are, religion. You know, religion is man-made. Religion, every religion, this is why I'm not religious. And I don't like for people to call me religious. Every religion was started by a man or a woman. Everyone. It didn't originate with God. Even the Baptist religion. It started with a man, John Smith, back in England, around 1600s. Every religion was started by a man. That's why I don't follow religion. Somebody say, well, why are you Baptist? Well, if I'm going to go to heaven, I might as well go first class, right? Get in that first class section. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. This is on TV and it's on radio. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. You know, we follow Christ. We don't follow religion because religion is man-made. Religion tells people how that man can work his way to God. And Christ says, you don't have to work. You just come to me. Right? I'm a Muslim, right? Okay. I pray 5 times a day. I keep all the pillars of Islam, Ramadan, go to Mecca 1 time. I do good works. Even in all that, you know what? It says right in the Quran, if you do all that, you're still not sure if you get in. You're still not sure. Jehovah's Witness. Now, I know they've changed their theology over the years. 144,000 are going to get in, right? The rest are other sheep, and they're going to go to another place. All right? So you stand out on pen and wood, and you hand out awakes and watchtowers. Then you go knock door to door telling people about Jehovah's Witness, and you're still not sure if you're going to get in. Still not sure. God says, let's make this so simple that even a caveman can understand it. What does he say? He says, I'm going to send my son. He's going to die on the cross for your sin. He's going to shed his blood, and let's take the guesswork out. Let's take the guesswork out of all of it. All you got to do is accept him. And what happens? That here in the Old Testament, atonement, that word meant to cover. That it covered their sins. And so God no longer looked at their sins, but he looked at what? He looked at the blood. So it's just like my fist. You know, you're looking at my fist. But now you see the handkerchief or the towel. Why? Because it's covered. And that's what the Day of Atonement did. Now I'm going to go on, and we're going to take this a step further here in a second. We're going to take this a step further. But this is what the Day of Atonement did. It covered their sins. Now, I liken this thing to having a monkey on your back, right? This whole idea of being unforgiven is that you got a monkey on your back, right? Now, what are the chances that that monkey is going to go peacefully off my back? All right? So, I mean, I can somehow grab the monkey, but he's going to what? He's going to fight, and he's going to, and then I can, if I'm strong enough, right, to get the monkey and to get him off, then what's he going to do? He's going to jump back on me again. So, I can spend all the time fighting the monkey. Or I can just let God come and take the monkey off my back. And that's what happens here. That all these work religions, what are they doing? They're fighting the monkey. What, they get tired? They get worn out? They get beat down? And they still don't know if they're going to beat the monkey. Right? Because that monkey, he's not going to stop. And I don't know if I'm going to win. But if I let God come and snatch the monkey off my back, he takes care of it. And see, the people, man, there's people that are laboring under the guilt of sin and unforgiveness, and they struggle with that, and they deal with it on a daily basis, and all they're doing is fighting the monkey. And you need to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and let him fight that battle for you. Let him take the monkey off of your back. So what is the lesson that we learn on the Day of Atonement? We learn that we are sinners under the wrath of God, and there is nothing that we can do to atone for our sins. There's nothing you can do to atone for your sin. Now, this is where we talk about Yeshua. How does this point to Yeshua? And that's Jesus. First of all, Christ is the believer's sin offering. The high priest offered a bullock for a sin offering. The bullock experienced death, and his blood atoned for the congregation. According to theologian Henry Thiessen, the word atonement, the Hebrew kafar, means literally to cover over so as to not be seen. The blood of bulls and goats covered the sins of the congregation from the eyes of God. The idea of God's covering his eyes from sin is seen in other references. Psalm 51:9, Isaiah 38:17, and Micah 7:19. It talks about the fact that God's eyes have been covered from sin. Well, what's the only way that his eyes are covered from seeing our sin? Is when we what? When we've been washed in the blood. When we've been covered by the blood. Praise God. We see that, well, look at 1 John. 1 John 2:2. Turn there with me. 1 John 2:2. And you can read there. I kind of got a little technical, and I didn't want to get into the technicality of it. So let me just get right to the heart of it. It says here, 1 John 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. Guess what word that is related to in the Old Testament? Atonement. That word atonement in Leviticus 16. That Christ is the what? The atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That Christ is my covering. That when God looks at me, he does not see. If he wanted to, he could. But God does not see my sin, that God sees the blood. Now, I know that there are some people now will say, well, then let me just go on and keep sinning, because all God sees is the blood. I can go out and I can punch somebody in the face because all God is going to see is the blood. I can go out here and I can break the speed limit because all God sees is the blood. I can go out here and cut somebody out because all God sees is the blood. See, I know that there are people that have that mentality. But I fall back to this. Number one, if God loves me so much that he sent his son to be a covering for my sins, that when his son shed his blood, that he covered my sins, and God loved me so much, why would I be so stupid as to go out and do wrong? It should motivate me more instead of doing wrong. It should motivate me to love God more. And I just want to say this. Oh, I'm getting fired up here this morning. But I just want to say this, that if you look at the grace of God and you think that that's a reason for you to keep going on sinning, then, my friend, you are a moron. Now, Jesus said that whoever doesn't build on the solid rock is what? A fool. Well, you know what the Greek word there is? Moron. So I'm not calling anybody anything that Jesus hadn't called them. You are a moron if you think that you can just keep sinning because you've been forgiven. Man, you should be struck. I mean, it's like Dr. Johnson was talking about that, I think it was that Friday night, where he said that, what does God want us to do? God wants us to bow down and worship him. Instead of looking at it as a license to sin, man, we ought to bow down and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Not trying to find a loophole to go out and do something wrong. Now, even if that don't convince you, let me take you to Romans chapter 6, where Paul says this. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin because we have been forgiven and we still want to keep getting forgiven? Shall we continue in sin? Paul said, God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Two reasons why we should not spurn the grace of God. Number one, because God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. And number two, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So Christ is our sin offering. He has been offered in our place. That you should have been the one. Let's go back now. How many times did he sprinkle the blood on the altar? Seven. How many times was Christ pricked in his body? Seven. You should have been the one, my friend, to have been pricked seven times. You know, I heard about this, and I'm sure many of you probably heard about this girl, that these two girls got hooked up in this internet thing called Slender Man, and they lured one of their friends in the woods, and they offered this girl up as a sacrifice to Slender Man, right? And they stabbed her 19 times. Praise God that she came. Man, there was a guy riding a bike, and he saw the little girl laying there, and he called for the paramedics, and they came. And now today, man, the little girl's doing fine. Man, I said, praise God. Satan didn't get that one. The devil didn't get that one. And I just thought, you know, just think, to be pricked in your body, that Jesus was pricked in his body seven times, and you should have been the one that was pricked. But he did it for you because he loves you. The second thing we see here is that Christ is our scapegoat. Amen. Christ is our scapegoat. The high priest would bring the living goat and put his hands on the head of the goat and confess the sins of the congregation. He would then release the goat into the wilderness. This symbolic act demonstrated how God removed the sins of the people from them. And then we quoted this earlier, Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sins from us. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. It said, well, if we go back to verse 4, whosoever committeth transgression, whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he, and who is that? Jesus Christ. And you know that he was manifested. That word manifest means to appear. That Christ came on the scene, right? He popped on the scene. Why did he come? To take away our sins. And in him is no sin. The word away comes from a Greek word. You know what it means? To lift up and take away. Why did Christ come? Why did he come? To lift up our sins on the cross. That when he died on the cross, what did he say in John 3? If I be lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross. And on the cross, the Bible said that he took on the sins of the world. Some translations say that he became sin, but he didn't become sin. He took on sin. He took on the sin of the world. He lifted it up. And what did he do? Took it away. What did the scapegoat do? The scapegoat lifted up the sins of the people. Took them away. Christ is our scapegoat. He's the one that has taken away our sins. That we can choose to labor and try to do this thing ourselves. I can go out and become a Muslim and keep the five pillars of Islam and do all kind of good works to try to do this thing myself. I can become a Jehovah's Witness and hand out magazines and knock on doors, or I can let Jesus Christ take it up and take it away. What are you trusting in? You know what I think? I think that when we stand before God and God asks us why he should let us into heaven, there's only one thing that he wants to hear. And it's got to be something related to Jesus Christ. Now, we might all say it the same way, but it better be, I accepted Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that his blood atoned. Something, you better be saying something about Jesus. Because so many people got, let me leave that alone. You better be saying something about Jesus. Because when you stand before God, and God says, why should I let you into heaven? And you say, because I passed out magazines. Or let's bring it a little bit closer to 7745 Tioga Street. You say, because I got baptized at Bethany Baptist Church. Right? You know what you do? That is an affront to Jesus Christ. You are slapping Christ in the face. And what are you saying? I don't need your sacrifice. I don't need what you did. Look, I'm a self-made person. I got here because I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. What is that doing? That's slapping the death of Christ on the cross right in the face because you're saying you don't need it. Oh, I like what the songwriter said. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are sham rocks. What's a sham rock? You know what a sham rock is? You know, people walk across the pond, right? A sham rock is make you think you're stepping on something, right? And you go right down into the water. All other rocks are just sham rocks. You can't stand on those rocks. It's only on the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me finish. And let me finish by saying this. A note. I add a note there for you. The note is this. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It says that in Hebrews 10:4. The blood of bulls and goats, let's read it. So you say, well, Pastor Glaze, is that true? No, let's read it. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. For it is not impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should, It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. All that, when that high priest went in there every year and offered the sacrifice, it did not take away their, what did it do? It covered their sins. It covered their sins. Now, let me ask this question. If that system was so good, why did he have to come back and do the same thing again next year? Right? He had to come back and do the same thing the following year. Why? Because it could not, it only covered the sins of the people for that year. And you know what it was? It was a type of Christ. And it pointed to the day when Jesus Christ would come. And that's why it says that he is a high priest who offered sacrifice how many times? One time. And what did he do? He sat down. Oh, y'all don't see what I'm talking about, do you? Every year the high priest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Next year, right? 1, 2, 3. For years he did that. Every year. Jesus Christ went into the Holy of Holies, offered the sacrifice, sprinkled the blood. How many times? 7 times. And did what? Sat down. Sat down. And that was it. That was it. And so these blood, the blood of bulls and goats, it only covered the sin. It didn't take it away. It covered it. It was symbolic, and it pointed to the day when the Messiah would come and that he would be the fulfillment of every sacrifice that was offered and that his sacrifice would be a one-time sacrifice offered up unto the Lord. And so we see that the Day of Atonement, I was going to bring in, too, I might do this next week, bring in the Hebrew calendar, because the Hebrew calendar is different than the calendar that we're on. It's completely different. You know what year it is on the Hebrew calendar? And on our calendar, it's 2014. On the Hebrew calendar, it's year 5,775. So, we're not even in the same year as the biblical people are, and we can talk about why that is. But when you look at the Hebrew calendar, the Day of Atonement would have happened sometime during the month of October. And so this is a acknowledgement that the Jewish people celebrated this Day of Atonement because they recognized what had been done. What am I suggesting? I think that, every day Christ cleanses us from our sin. As soon as we commit him, he cleanses. But how great would it be if just once a year, you and your own and your personal life, just set aside a devotional time on the Day of Atonement just to think about what Christ has done for you. Amen. Just to meditate on how that, what they, to think about what the Jewish people did in the Old Testament and then think about what Christ has done for you on your Day of Atonement.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Ten Commandments of Personal Development. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Day of Atonement, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Day of Atonement. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the Day of Atonement. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.